Clara Ross Baxter wrote this poem, and it seems to fit for Mother's Day. She says, "If I could take the heartaches you have had along the way and change them into roses, I would make a huge bouquet. I would place it on a mirror close beside your easy chair and kneel in silence by it with my heart reflected there. Then you know the truths you taught me in your kindly, patient way have been my guide and anchor through every troubled day. And you could read life's record with neither shame nor fear, for I made it by the pattern that you gave me, Mother dear. Then this shall be my tribute, the best I have to give. I'm grateful to you, Mother, that you taught me how to live." Praise God for our mothers. You know, Proverbs 1, verses 7 through 9 says this. It says, "How does a man become wise? The first step is to trust and reverence the Lord. Only fools refuse to be taught. Listen to your father and mother. What you learn from them will stand you in good stead. It will gain you many honors." And then we fast forward, we look at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 23. Solomon says, "Young man, obey your father and mother. Take to heart all of their advice. Keep in mind everything they tell you. Every day and all night long, their counsel will lead you and save you from harm. When you wake up in the morning, let their instructions guide you into the new day. For their advice is a beam of light directed into the dark corners of your mind to warn you of danger and to give you a good life." Today, on this day specifically designed and dedicated to and for our mothers, we, as Solomon just said, we children stand in good stead, unharmed and honored, living good lives because of the lives and the love that has been shown to us, continues to be shown to us by our great mothers. The Apostle Paul, while addressing the church at Thessalonica, said in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 and 8, he says, "We were as gentle among you as a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you dearly," says Paul, "so dearly that we gave you not only God's message, but our own lives too." Now, haven't our mothers done that? Haven't they continued to love us like that? And here's a question. What do they get for doing that? On this Mother's Day, we're going to talk about something called Mother's Pay. And moms, I think you're going to like it. Nancy Fulbright, who is a professor of economics at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, wrote an article in the New York Times that is entitled Mother's Pay. In this article, Fulbright assesses a, quote, mother's market value based on the hours and activities that our mothers engage in during a typical week. Utilizing the reliable resources of Salary.com, Inc., Fulbright found that most stay-at-home moms spend approximately 96.4 hours weekly performing the 10 most common mom job functions known to man. These hours, combined with these titles, such as laundry operator, janitor, housekeeper, cook, teacher, taxi driver, and facilities manager, among others, suggests that our mothers should be making well over $120,000 annually. What do you think about that, mothers? That would be quite the Mother's Day gift. Using the prescribed calculator and knowing what Nancy Fulbright gave us, I said, you know what, if I'm going to talk about it, I got to do it. So here's what I did. So I went on salary.com, I followed Nancy Fulbright's instruction, and I plugged my own wife's motherly hours into that equation to find out just how much my wife would make. And here's what I found out. After doing it all, I was very sincere. I didn't fudge. I was right on with those hours. I learned that I cannot afford my wife. And I don't know what to do about it. What do you do about it? So here's what's neat. When you do this, and it's kind of neat, they actually, if you go through this whole procedure, and I encourage you to go through this procedure, it'll open your eyes to what your wives and moms do. It will print out a check. It literally prints out a check. It says it's our family. It says if we could, we would pay mom, and then her salary. I'm not going to mention that what that is. And then it says we give our thanks to mom, love your family. This is one of her Mother's Day gifts. I'm getting her other things, but I thought she should see this. It's pretty alarming. What do we pay our mothers? What do we pay our mothers? I'm giving her a piece of paper with some legible printing on it. What do we give them, and what are they owed? Says Fulbright. She says, one could argue that mothers' unpaid work has been ignored, underestimated, and devalued for so long that we need to dramatize its dollar value, especially on Mother's Day. End quote. What is our mother's pay? Now, when we were growing up, and I've always said that we lived on a farm far, far away, and so when our first home was out in the middle of nowhere, the only thing that we had close to us was a bridge and a ditch, and we were like settlers. And so what we would do is we would go over, and we would play. Sometimes we'd play across the road, because you could walk on that road. Nobody ever drove down that road. It had like 2 cars a year, but on one particular occasion, there were these beautiful, expansive yellow flowers out in this ditch. And so I went over on one day. I was thinking about my mom. I love my mom. And so I thought that I should go pick a bouquet of flowers for my mom. So I had the scissors and went over, and I cut the flowers, and I grabbed this huge bouquet, and I walked in. My mom was in the kitchen, and I said, Mom, these are for you. And I thought they were beautiful. And my mom was so excited and amazed by the fact that her son had picked her flowers, and she put them in a styrofoam cup, put water in them. And I was so proud that my mom took weeds. They were dandelions, and she took weeds and considered them a bouquet of something very special. And I ask myself today, how do we pay our moms? I mean, they were weeds, Mom. Thanks for not telling me that. I appreciate it. You know, on another occasion, my mom is one that would always get up and make breakfast for us. And, you know, three men, she had to do that. And so on one occasion, I think my brother was in on this one, and we actually determined the night before to make Mom breakfast in bed. I'm sure Mom will remember this. And so one of the things we did, I was at this point no culinary chef, but I did want to surprise her. And so we woke her up on a Saturday morning, which I'm sure didn't really thrill her, but she did not indicate that. And we gave her a breakfast in bed that only a king could appreciate. And I believe the staple of that meal was dry toast. And she treated it like she was given a meal from the Ritz-Carlton. And so, Mom, we appreciate what you do. And again, it's hard to tell you what our mothers are worth. And so my question is, aren't our mothers worth more than dandelions and dry toast? And I think the answer would be yes. You know, strangely, in the Hebrew family, I say strangely because culturally, women were seen a little bit different in the Hebrew family than they are even today. But in the Hebrew family, the mother occupied an extremely high position. Well, today, and especially based on Nancy Fulbright's findings, our mothers must feel like unpaid servants. Paul, in that same 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 passage that we've read from earlier, says in verse 6, he says, regarding his own ministry, he says, as for praise, we've never asked for it from you or anyone else. Although as apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to some, here's your key word, we certainly had a right to some honor from you. Now, regarding our mothers, we cannot pay them, as Fulbright suggested, $122,611. But we can. We can on this special day. We can give our mothers honor, especially as it pertains to Scripture. Proverbs 31, one of the greatest Mother's Day passages of all time. Churches worldwide are preaching today from Proverbs 31. It is a great passage. Proverbs 31:28 says this, her children rise up and honor her. Why? Because as verse 10 in Proverbs 31 suggests, her price is far above rubies. Who would have known that Nancy Fulbright in 2016 would be sharing advice on how to pay our mothers $122,611? And even back then, Solomon saw the value of mothers by saying they are worth as much as rubies. I don't think we would disagree with this. In this famous Proverbs 31 passage, which most of us have read, and you've probably heard it in various segments in church attendance somewhere, the virtues of a good woman and godly mother are listed in that passage. With the help of our sermon text today, which comes from Philippians 2, 3 through 11, we are going to use that Proverbs 31 passage, and we're going to use our sermon text today to discuss three of those very most important virtues. And these virtues are incredibly important as we discuss mothers today. So let's do this. Let's read our sermon text. You will see it on the screen. Follow along in your Bibles. Here we go. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 11. Paul says this. He says, don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and in what they're doing. Your attitude should be the kind that was shown us by Jesus Christ, who, though he was God, did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like men. And he humbled himself even further, going so far as actually to die a criminal's death on a cross. Yet it was because of this that God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him a name which is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, this passage was delivered by Paul to the Christians in the city of Philippi. It was addressed to believers, but strangely and seemingly, it certainly applies today to our mothers. You see, first in this passage, we see something that our mothers display every day. It's called selflessness. Look at verses 3 and 4 again. Paul says, don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and in what they are doing. Someone once said, if you forget yourself for others, others will never forget you. Now, this is true with our mothers. You see, the child who rises and honors his or her mother has never forgotten the selfless acts that were given to us from her. Proverbs 31:15 says this, she gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household. I often thought that, you know, mom could get up early, she could prepare breakfast for herself, but she doesn't just do that. She does it for others too, because mothers are all about others. Proverbs 31:19-20, she sows for the poor and generously helps those in need. My daughters are just finishing up their school year at Trinity Lutheran School, and one of the great things that Trinity Lutheran School does each year is they host this major auction. And the auction is to raise funds for that particular school. And so we were perusing the item or the items that were going to be auctioned off, and several of those items were blankets and quilts that were sewn personally by mothers and grandmothers. Why did they do it? Because they wanted to help others. And they believed in helping those children in that school. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:24, he says, don't think only of yourself. Try to think of the other fellow too and what is best for him. That's what mothers do. Mrs. Theodore Roosevelt, years and years ago, shares this account. She says, the more children a woman has, the more unselfish she is sure to be. A teacher said to a little boy, said Roosevelt, she said, James, suppose your mother made a peach pie and there were 10 of you at the table, your mother and father and 8 children. How much of the pie, James, would you get? James looked up at the teacher and said, a ninth, ma'am. No, James. Pay attention, said the teacher. There are 10 of you. 10. Remember, don't you know your fractions, James? James said, yes, ma'am. I know my fractions, but I know my mother too. She'd say she didn't want no pie. This is what our mothers do. I can think back of the times, and my poor mom, every time she made something delicious, which was like every day, and it was always something sweet every day, and the last piece was in that pie pan or that cake pan or that brownie pan every day. And I would ask my mom, I'd say, Mom, you want it? No, you take it. You have it. And I believe that my mom probably never, ever had enough of what she wanted or what she could have had every day. This is what mothers do. You see, mothers are selfless in their servanthood. They love others. The interest of our mothers truly is others, and those others start with the very children that they nurtured. Those people are us today. We are those others. And mothers, we saw your selfless acts, and we'll never forget them. Secondly, we see from our mothers servanthood. Doesn't surprise us that our mothers would display this great act. In fact, in verses 5 through 7, we read these words. Paul says, your attitude should be the kind that was shown us by Jesus Christ, who, though he was God, did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like men. What was Jesus' stance on servanthood, we might ask? Mark 10:45 has our answer. Says Jesus in that passage, he says, for even I, the Messiah, am not here to be served, but to help others. and to give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew 24, 45 and 40, 46, he says, are you a wise and faithful servant of the Lord? Have I given you the task of managing my household to feed my children day by day? Blessings on you if I return and find you faithfully doing your work. That work is to serve, and our mothers do it as well as anybody. A Christian mother's servanthood starts with a selfless heart and is demonstrated through her hardworking hands. Proverbs 31, 17, and 18 says this, she is energetic, she's a hard worker, and watches for bargains, and she works far into the night. Verse 27 of Proverbs 31 says this, she watches carefully all that goes on throughout her household and is never lazy. You know, as many of you know, with two jobs, I work over 80 hours a week, and I think my wife is soon to catch up. She does about the same thing with her work and then with her church work, and so we don't have a lot of free time. Our schedules are so regimented. I've told my wife, and she agrees, we are down to the second of how our time frames are supposed to be worked out. And so as many of you might know, obviously, if you work during the week, you find out that on Saturdays are typically dedicated to housework. On Saturdays, we are dedicated to housework and church work, so our Saturdays are full. Last Saturday, as you might know, it rained a lot, and so we could not get out and mow our yard. Same thing with Sunday. And so we were backed up, and boy, when the grass grows, and that's not good for a guy who's OCD and really loves to take care of his yard. So I was watching it all week, and I said, how in the world are we going to get to this? So Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m., we earmarked that as our time to mow the yard. Now, at our house, it is so regimented that we have tasks and duties that are assigned to each of us. I am the mower, and I am the blower. My wife is the edger, and she uses the string trimmer. Do not insert jokes about the string trimmer. We all know what happened with the string trimmer. All right. So anyway, so this is what we did. 6:30, Thursday night, we did this. And so I went out, I mowed, I blew off everything. And the girls were getting ready to go out prior to us mowing. And I saw the girls walking. I said, girls, where are you going? They said, we're going to go ride our bikes. I said, well, that sounds like fun. Enjoy. And I said, you know, if you're so inclined, you can go out and start pulling weeds around the trees. Of course, fully expecting that they were not going to do it. I get done mowing, I get done blowing, I look out, and the girls are sitting down around the trees pulling weeds with a bucket. I said at that point, I said, well, I got to go help them. There's no way I can let the girls stay out there pulling weeds by themselves. And so I went out, and we all three formed a circle around the trees, pulled all the weeds out, Jada constantly complaining about worms and such, but we made it. But the whole time I'm thinking, where in the world is Cam? Where's my wife at? And so we made it around to the back of the house, and I look, and Cam is out there trimming shrubs with the electric trimmer. And so I teased the girls. I said, hey, girls, look at Mom. She got the easy end of this deal. I said, she gets to run the electric trimmer. We're out here pulling weeds with our hands. The next thing I know, she never heard me say this. The next thing I know, my wife is out there bent over in the largest area of our landscaped area pulling weeds by hand. And I told the girls, I said, girls, there's your example. I said, that is a woman who knows about hard work. The point is that our mothers are servants. And we don't have to ask them to do it. They just do it. And it's so funny when I look back and I think about how my mom did it when we didn't ask her to do it. And mothers, you know what I'm talking about. You did it because it's in you. It's how you do it. It's how you live it. And this is why today we celebrate you. Mothers, we understand what you are capable of. Mothers, we have watched you do this. We have seen you do this, and we're grateful for this. Charles Swindoll, in his 1997 article, Improving Your Serve, he claims that authentic servanthood, as seen by our Christian mothers, is done anonymously, generously, voluntarily, and personally. And regarding that, with regards to my own wife, I mean, she didn't look for any kind of acclamation with regards to her pulling of the weeds and trimming of the shrubs. She did it anonymously. She did it generously because she didn't want us to have to do it. She did it voluntarily. We didn't ask her to do it. She did it personally because she didn't want us to do it. This is what mothers do. They do things and they say things that are equivalent to being a servant, just like Jesus does. Lastly, we see from our mothers this thing called sacrifice. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says this. It says, and he, being Jesus, he humbled himself even further, going so far as actually to die a criminal's death on a cross. Mothers would sacrifice their lives for their children. And while in this country, they might not lose their lives for their children, they certainly would give up and sacrifice the most important things in their lives for the good of their children. See, a mother's life is all about sacrifice. 1 Samuel 1, 3 through 26 gives us an example of this. Hannah gave her son Samuel to Eli to serve in God's tabernacle. Now, if you don't know the story of Hannah, we need to understand that she had trouble getting pregnant. She was at one point barren. She begged and pleaded and she prayed for a baby. She got a baby, and here's what happened when she got the baby. She dedicated the baby for the use in God's tabernacle. It was the most incredible sacrifice that we've seen until we see Mary, who stood by the cross, who understood that her son had to die. John 19, 25 through 27, she watched her son die as he sacrificed his life for us people. John said in 1 John 3, 16, he says, we know what real love is from Christ's example in dying for us. And so we also ought to lay down our lives for our Christian brothers. I love Proverbs 31, 25. It says, she has no fear. The virtuous mother, the virtuous woman, the virtuous wife has no fear of old age. Folks, she has no fear of death because she has spent her entire life sacrificing her own life for the good of her children's lives. See, those mothers, they don't fear death. They just embrace life and they prepare for eternal life because they know that God put them on this earth to dedicate their lives to Him and their children. Let me give you an example of this. This was a story that was told. It's a true story. I researched it. It happened a long, long time ago, probably before any of us were even born. But it's told by a great author named Walter B. Knight, and he shares this true account, and it certainly applies to Mother's Day today. He says, Mrs. Lucille McFarlane Frey of Ottumwa, Iowa, 33 years of age, succumbed to a fatal illness. God had sent to her humble home, a three-room rented cottage on the edge of town, 10 children. She was told that she could not live longer than a year. What would she do with her small children? Her husband was almost a total invalid. He could not care for them. The noble mother could not countenance the thought of placing them in an orphanage. So she took her secret to God in prayer. Her condition and the burden of her heart became known, says Knight. Let's listen as Mrs. Frey tells her story. One night I began to turn the problem over in my mind. Suddenly I got a feeling that there was some kind of wonderful presence, capital P, right beside me. And I knew then what I must do. There are enough good people in the world to provide loving homes for all of my children. I will find them before it is too late. She told her minister of her plans. Only homes and foster parents meeting the mother's high standard could qualify. One by one, the brave mother found homes for her small children. As she parted with them, she would say, be a good child, just as you've always been. During the year, that heroic mother suffered great pain, but she never complained. A few hours before her death, she said to her pastor, my house is in order. Knight asked who could say that it wasn't. Of all who die in the Lord, we can say that they rest from their labors. Concludes Knight, of all true mothers, we can say her children rise up and call her blessed. A mother of 10, dying of a terrible disease. A mother who you would think would want to spend the remaining days of her life next to those 10 children, so that she could see them all the way through the end of her life, chose to sacrifice her own wants and desires to make sure that those 10 children had better lives. That's what a mother's sacrifice looks like. Mothers, we've seen this. Mothers, you show this each and every day. You see, mothers, we saw your selflessness, we saw your servanthood, and we saw your sacrifices when you thought we weren't looking or watching. We saw you praying by your bedside. We saw your excitement when you planned for your family birthday parties and sleepovers and huge family surprises. We watched you worship. We saw you cry. We watched you give to others. And we watched you give up your own important interests and things for others. But we didn't see everything. Yet what was not seen by us was seen by our Heavenly Father who blesses us. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 4, he says, your Father, capital F, he says, your Father who knows all secrets will reward you. Mothers, your pay on this Mother's Day cannot be paid in dollars. Today, you are paid with honor. That's what we give you. 1 Samuel 2:30 says this, therefore, Lord, the God of Israel declares, I promise that members of your family would minister before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, says God, I will honor. And those who despise me will be disdained. Christian mothers, all of you Christian mothers, you honored your Heavenly Father. Not only by the exemplary love and worship and discipleship that you showed him, but also by the selflessness and servanthood and sacrifice that was shown to us by Jesus, which you gave to us. Proverbs 18:12 says this, humility ends in honor. Today, you humble Christian mothers who would never ever take your own honors, who would never ever say that we should be honored today, in your humility, we tell you that it is our honor to recognize you and to thank you for everything you've done. We saw it. God saw it. And while we've been changed by it, you are going to be honored for it. Jesus was a selfless servant who sacrificed his life for us. And it was because of this that God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him a name which is above every other name. Verse 9 of our sermon text. How can a Christian mother possibly be repaid? Some would say dandelions and dry toast. And mothers would probably appreciate that. Today I tell you, dandelions and dry toast, it's only weeds and bad food. Today we have to realize that we have to give our mothers better. We have to do better. So here's what we give them. We give them a relationship, not only with them, but a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Proverbs 31:31 says this, praise her for the many fine things she does. These good deeds of hers shall bring her honor and recognition from people of importance. Mothers, we wish that we could pay you $122,611. You've earned it. We just can't pay it. But we can give you our praise. And we'll give you our thanksgiving. We'll show you our love. And today, we'll give you our honor. But mothers, you must know this. Your greatest pay and honor is not from here, and it doesn't come from us. It will be given to you up there, and it will come from Jesus. On Mother's Day, a mother's pay is your honor. Thank you, mothers, for everything you've done, for raising such beautiful children, for putting in our lives those very people that continue to change our lives. Today, we recognize you and honor you. You great Christian mothers. There it is. All right, so folks, isn't that great? That's great, right? All right, so here's the story. We, you know, and again, I brag on these guys because they've enhanced our worship services so much. Dan and John, back there in the back row, they do so much for our video presentations, and they help us out with all of our sermons and all the graphics that are on there. So here's what happened. So, you know, we've never done this before. We always close with a song. Normally, I mean, right? We always do that, and so Dan had contacted us and said, hey, I've got this Mother's Day song. We got to play it. And we didn't even know. We're like, should we sing it? And he said, no, we're just going to play it. And so this is the first time I had seen it today. I have to tell you, this has got to become a staple, I think, on Mother's Day, right? I mean, this has got to be played every year. But I got to tell you, my favorite thing is the Scandinavian Prince. Do you notice they put the M instead of the N? I loved it. And I told Dan, I said, did you change the words? He said, I didn't change anything. So that was it. So good job. Do not give your money to a Scandinavian prince. All right, mothers, let's stand and close in prayer. And folks, again, today's going to be a day of celebration. Here's what I encourage all of us children to do. Never, ever, ever restrict our celebration of Mother's Day to this one day. Let's always thank our mothers and be concerned about our mothers and give back to our mothers as much as they've given to us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that our mothers have done. We thank you for the various ways that they love us and the various ways that they are patient with us. And today we're reminded of just how much they care about us. And so today I pray that you will give them the glory and the honor that's due them. We know that when it comes from you, it's sincere and it's real. And I pray today that you will fill them with the Holy Spirit. And I pray today that you would help them to see the love that Jesus Christ has for them. And I pray that all of us collectively today would say that we've been changed by them. Now I pray that we'll emulate them in all that we say and do. And I pray that our lives would be reflective and exemplary, not only of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, but also of our Christian mothers. And I thank you for this day of celebration that we have. Now go with us, keep us safe, and help us to honor you and worship you beyond the walls of this church, and help us to change our communities by the way that we live our lives in front of them. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Have a great day.